Hey, what's up, everybody? Hope you enjoy this 420 special. I'd say 420 is basically the biggest holiday in the NFT world. And yeah, we went a little bit off the rails and celebrated a little bit on this show. We had Bouvet, the Mongolian NFT trading beatboxer, do a little freestyle. I got really mad at the Twitter platform because Nick was getting rugged. Gentle Tornado was getting rugged, who is a valued Nifty Portal community member, and it was his birthday. So there's a little bit of a Twitter rant in the middle. But as always, hope you enjoy the show. We dive into the Coinbase NFT platform and a lot of other really interesting NFT stories, and had some badasses on stage like Soul Legend and others. As usual, our content is sponsored by FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or on mobile with the code THENIFTY. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy 420. This is basically the biggest holiday of the year in NFT world. And I think it's reflected by some of the stuff that we're seeing go on. I mean, Coinbase just finally launched their platform, it seems, to many people's surprise. All of a sudden, with no announcement, boom, on 420, Coinbase's platform is live. This is the daily NFT morning show, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., where we talk all things NFT investing, trading, NFT market, and everything in between. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Signal. Signal, why don't you give us a little weather report on what's going on in the NFT space?
Yeah, morning, folks. Today, Wednesday, the 20th of April, it was a busy overnight. Volume was at 134 million. Let's see what happened on the blue chips. Well, it's been up only on Ape Collection. Apes are at 120 and Mutants are at 30. Azuki and Beans, they've been seeing a small retrace, whilst World of Women is up big, but Galaxy still hovering not much above mint price. Cool Cats, they really do have nine lives. They are back over 8 ETH. Over the past 24 hours, well, the largest volume overnight, it's been neck and neck between Moonbirds and Mutants. The market is ramping up for Yuga Land News. Jimmy Fallon bought a Moonbird. That collection soared and settled near 20 ETH. And the alleged Yuga Land allow list is greatly benefiting. Dogs, World of Women, Cool Cats, Cryptos, and CryptoPunks have all seen significant volume over the last 7 days. Deadfellas, they signed with UTA Agency. They're going to be expanding into IP mediums. That floor's at 2 ETH. And Vayner Sports is starting to take off. That floor is at 0.47 ETH. And Coinbase, on their launch today, big event coming up. They have their VP of product, Gary Vaynerchuk, G-Funk from Pixelvolt, and Amber Victoria all on today. On the coins front, someone's buying the rumor. Ape is up to $16. And on the OpenSea stats, well, volume was stronger overnight. And since the weekend, we have stayed above 130 million, even early into this week. In fact, yesterday was the third highest volume for a Tuesday since January. So we're in a bit of a bull season, bull week right now. Clearly, there is momentum and liquidity is being rotated across the board. Expect to see more action today. The 24-hour forecast is definitely sunny. Back to you in the studio.
Thank you, Signal. And I got to think that all the Silicon Valley guys that are in the NFT space now because of Moonbirds, they provided a ton of liquidity that NFT degens are rotating around. Do you think that that's part of the reason why we're seeing the action we're seeing?
Yeah, I think there's definitely, I mean, Kix mentioned this yesterday, but there's definitely been a trickle-down effect since the weekend, because when you look at the daily volume on the OpenSea stats, the pattern of this weekend and going early into this week is extremely different to what we've seen from what we've seen earlier in the week. So I suspect 420, tax season over, strong volume, this hopefully will continue into the weekend.
Yeah, and for people that don't understand what I'm talking about, you know, Moonbirds was probably the most highly anticipated mint since Invisible Friends. Perhaps, yeah, maybe not more than Invisible Friends, but in my opinion, maybe a little bit more substance, and no disrespect at all to Motion Marcus and Invisible Friends, because I think that that story's just beginning. But I think because of who Kevin Rose is and what Proof is, you know, there were very high expectations for Moonbirds, and I think it's reflected in the floor price now. But if you think about it, if your typical NFT degen won the raffle for the Moonbirds mint, put down 2.5 ETH, and within 48 hours sold that for 16 ETH, right? Or even if they got a rare, sold it for 30 ETH. I know NFT degens, and I know if they took that, you know, 15 ETH, 20 ETH, 30 ETH from a Silicon Valley guy that was told by people in his network that he had to buy Moonbirds because it's Kevin Rose and this is like the real NFT that you got to get. And if there's any NFT you got to buy, it's this one. I know that that NFT degen is rotating it back into the market. So shout out to all those degens that are keeping this market afloat at this point. Jesse, I see you clapping a bunch. What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. First of all, let me just get one mansplain out of the way. Signal is the queen of the show. The weather report is now like amongst all the good assets that Nifty Alpha has. It might be the gold standard at this point, but the forecast has to be hazy today. It has to be hazy on 420. That's my one correction.
I like that.
I mean, it's so true. We've been saying this over and over with the, you know, we're concerned because we're so early, but no one's coming into the market. But what is exactly saving us is the fact that people who make like 40X in this space, they're not going to buy treasury bonds or looking for 5%, you know, on a stock.
Imagine buying a bond.
That's even hilarious. A good stock, like, right? It's like or sometimes people have made two or three great trades, right? And it's like, we've done it ourselves, right? And you just think you're going to be able to do it again. So even if you get wrecked a couple times, those people are just rotating into the other things. They're not the profile of that kind of investor who's made that kind of money is very unlikely that they're leaving any time to go, you know, back to traditional finance. And so,
yeah, there's more Franklins than we know that get a $4 million airdrop and just plow it all back into the same project. There's a lot of degen legends out there. Completely agree, Jesse. So overnight, I think one of the biggest news stories was ApeCoin moving up 30%. Very big run up. Actually, it got over $17 for a period of time early in this morning. As wise man Wappy says, the real time to wake up and make some money is at like 6 a.m. because there's some opportunities there that by the time the rest of us wake up aren't there any longer. But why is ApeCoin pumping? We're also seeing Bored Ape Yacht Club and Mutant Ape Yacht Club pumping. That is due to more information being leaked out about the Yuga Labs land play. And there's lots of rumors circulating. It's hard to know exactly which ones are true or which ones are just, you know, rumors. But for sure, we are near approaching the launch of this land. I have been talking to some people, and they don't think that they're going to like stealth launch it like Mutant Ape Yacht Club. They think that you know, they're going to announce it, and then it'll probably happen like a week later. But it is interesting to note that Bored Ape Yacht Club launched on 4/23, I think, of last year. So it'd be interesting if they maybe announce it on that same date of their 1 year anniversary. But the rumors around this that seem to be substantial or have substance to them is that the sale will likely be in Ape coin, which is why Ape is. Yeah, which is crazy. Why
I don't see it happening at all. Like, they priced that VC leak deck in US dollars, like what the potential raise would be. So like that alone, it almost makes it that for me, considering this ApeCoin pricing, it's like you're just asking to get hit for that being a security. There's so many other things and stipulations that, like, on top of it too, that would make Yuga hold 80% of the total ApeCoin allocation, which, like, how does that not force it to go to zero? You know, like, what are they going to do with it? They've already said they're not burning any of it. It's a fixed supply. So I just don't see how they actually release it in ApeCoin. Like, me personally, I'd be selling the absolute hell out of this rumor.
Well, I've also heard from my sources originally that it was going to be priced in Ape or Ethereum. You could use both. And that it would be like a Dutch auction starting at around 3 ETH. But like the Ape token price would be variable based on like the price of ETH, meaning that like if people were buying ApeCoin, you know, then you would need less ApeCoin to mint the land. But regardless, I mean, the price of Ape is at $16, very substantial pump. So it seems just based on the data that there's maybe some substance to that rumor. But either way, what I'm hearing is it's likely going to be a Dutch auction, which makes sense, right? There's going to be some sort of whitelisting to participate in the Dutch auction. Most people that I talk to still think that something is brewing.xyz, that KYC is how you were able to get on the whitelist. But there's additional rumors circulating that certain projects such as Water Woman or Cool Cats or Cryptodes will get auto whitelisted. My thought process there is that maybe after them running the numbers and seeing how many KYCs they already have, that they want to get more people on the whitelist to ensure a good sellout. So they're just going to auto whitelist the people on those projects. But also, if you KYC'd, you will be on the whitelist as well. That seems like it could be pretty sensible to me. But Board Ape Yacht Club and Mutant Ape Yacht Clubs are pumping because there's rumors circulating that they will get premium location for land, and that Board Ape Yacht Club will get two, and that Mutants will get one. And then if you, I think if you own a dog, it maybe lets you
dog and an ape. Dog and an ape.
Yeah, it either lets you get another or it lets you get a chance to mint another. But then in addition, Board Ape Yacht Club and Mutant Ape Yacht Clubs, all of those owners will be able to mint one additional as well on top of the airdrop. So you're looking at a total airdrop of about 40K out of the 60K for sale. So there'll be 60,000 remaining for sale. And it's very likely going to sell out, in my opinion, pretty high up there in the Dutch auction. Anyways, long-winded thing. But there's lots of rumors circulating. I think there's a reason why ApeCoin is pumping. I think it has to do with the land sale. Board Ape Yacht Club, Mutant Ape Yacht Club pumping due to their allocations in the land sale. And we're still waiting to get clarity in terms of like how to whitelist for this, but there should be news out on it soon.
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out. I have a bad taste in my mouth because I tried to KYC and they just wouldn't take my driver's license or my passport. And I was like, are you guys serious? And I like waited a few days and then all of a sudden I couldn't do it anymore. It was just pretty dumb because I was willing to KYC, but their third party KYC partner just wasn't that good. But whatever, it sounds like I'm going to get airdropped a piece of land. Hopefully that actually has value.
You'll also be able to mint one as well for owning a mutant. So you'll get airdropped one and you'll have the opportunity to buy one additional if you want.
Okay. Well, hopefully that works out and I don't get screwed while I watch Captain Kicks literally mint, you know, 10 ETH worth of the land and then turn around and sell it for 35 ETH or something like that. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, a lot of action today. It seems that Vayner Sports, AJ Vaynerchuk, who came on the show, I believe it was last week. I think 1 week ago today. It feels like longer ago, but 1 week ago today, AJ came on and people in our Discord, this is not confirmed, or maybe it is confirmed, but I'm just not sure, are saying that one part of the Vayner Sports announcement is that they are doing one partner mint per month. So that's pretty fun. This month, I believe, or next month is Micah Johnson. Everyone knows that I'm a big fan, but that's going to be interesting. Node, I saw that you unmuted. Did you have something to add to this?
Yeah, it is confirmed. He released his cadence calendar like a minute ago. So he didn't release an official roadmap, but it's a cadence calendar. So basically committing to what they're going to do on a weekly, monthly, and quarterly basis, which I think is pretty cool. And so on a monthly basis, they've got an IRL athlete experience, allow list giveaways, and VSP partner mints. So pretty cool on the monthly. On the weekly, they've got digital athlete experiences, ticket raffles, giveaways, community rewards. And then quarterly, he's got a special kind of project coming out every quarter. So the next project that is going to drop is called Project V, and it's the black card. Not a whole lot more details on it. But pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah. Well, someone in our Discord just said, should we dump our VSP? Or he was like, should I dump VSP into this pump? It's at 0.47. Like, what are you trying to make some McDonald's money? I'm just saying it's Vayner Sports. I bought 10 of these on my personal wallet and 7 or 8 of them on the company wallet. I have to think that there's going to be some legit upside. I also see Gentle Tornado. I see that you're requesting to speak. Easy.
Let him up.
Easy also let me know that it is your birthday. I don't know what you're going to do on stage. Even before I found out that it was your birthday, I was going to let you on stage because it's 420. So we might as well, you know, let a little bit of a tornado on stage. I want to wait for Nick to be here, though, because I want Nick to be able to enjoy your presence on stage, too. Now watch, he's going to come on stage and he's just going to be totally tame. He's just going to be like, hey, guys.
No, bro, there's no shot. After his day yesterday, he got the quote tweet from Gary Vee. He's going to go nuts. Shout out Tornado. You're a real dude. Love what you did with the V-Friends 2 pass. I'm excited to hear you talk.
But yeah, and he may come on. Just what about that, Brian?
I floored all of them. They're all on the floor.
Hell yeah.
Every single one. It's time good. To get out.
Good, yeah.
Wait, you floored all of what?
My dead friends.
Yeah, I got out of Dead Friends 2 and I put it in a Zenica, but we'll talk about that. Captain Kicks, what were you going to say?
Well, you all have asked me all the time how I feel about Deadfellas, and I tell you it's great 1 month out of the year, October, great Halloween project. Other than that, you want to, you know, trade in and out of it pretty quickly.
You also said the curtain was stupid, so, like, I don't value your opinion anymore, but that's besides the point.
I own twice as many cartons as you, you little bum.
Right now. I'll pump
yeah, whatever, buddy. Yeah, you're gonna be paying a real premium now, you bum.
still lower, bum. Yeah.
Maybe you should have bought Toxic Skulls Club, bum, because they're up 3x, buddy, from my call.
I got Slappy Boys, which revealed today, so just wait. Ha, bum.
Yeah, you're going to be flapping away to these gains, buddy.
That was a fun bit. Go ahead, Kicks. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, when Nick gets on the stage, even if the other guy's calm, I'll definitely be able to razz Nick up and get him really emotional, because I'm just going to ask him how he feels about selling a bunch of Ape Token right before it pumped 30%. So that should really get them kind of, you know, feeling emotional. And then we can just roll them right into whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, please don't get Nick riled up about that. I mean, look, the bird is sitting at 28th, and I want to talk about this. I also let a moonbird on stage, Chase, here, who apparently, I think we've already talked to you. You work at PwC. That's risky to just have that on your profile, right? Especially when I'm going to call you out for insider trading. No, I'm just kidding. But one thing I wanted to call out is that a little fun social game, speaking of the social games that we play in the Discord, you know, we talk about how we have the pick'em now on a weekly basis. We're doing a poker tournament on Saturday. We did NCAA March Madness bracket with a prize where we dished out a loser club that was worth 0.3 ETH. We're doing bingo now, and I don't think we figured out a way to do rewards for the bingo, because I know a lot of you are just brutal, you know, ridiculous cheaters, and I know that you'll all cheat, and I've seen it before, so there's no prize for bingo yet, but if we can find a way to regulate bingo, then we'll totally, you know, figure out a way to get a prize going. But yeah, there's bingo, so like if Nick calls something hot garbage or something, that's on the bingo board. If Jesse makes like a bad dad joke or something, that's on the bingo board. I guess if I talk
just put that in the middle. That's an automatic X.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess if I talk about like Micah Johnson's project or something, that's a bingo. What were you going to say, Signal?
Yeah, I'm playing. And if anybody just wants to say the word Shonen Junk, just feel free to say it. I'm like, no pressure. It will help me win.
That's on Sig's bingo board. Well, anyway, you know, a few things happened in my world yesterday in the NFT space is the Dead Friends pumped. And because of my current position thinking about PFP-related projects, I was in Deadfellas from 0.1 and 0.16, held them forever. I think that team's savage. We interviewed Betty on our YouTube show, and I think she's one of the most impressive interviews that we had on that show. And it actually, there was a serious pump after, you know, that interview. So, I mean, all things considered, I think Deadfellas is absolutely badass, and that announcement of the signing to that talent agency was a big deal too. However, you know, right now I'm interested in utility plays, and people are saying that my audio sucks. I don't know what to tell you. I'm doing the same thing I do every day.
It sounds like a cable's loose or something, like you're in a Tesla coil.
Yeah,
but definitely a cable connection.
It's like okay. Randomly throughout your talking.
It's not too bad though. Keep it going.
Okay, I'm gonna keep it going. After I throw to somebody else, I'll unplug and plug back.
I think I know what it is, because it happened to my buddy before when he was selling weed in high school. I think that's the FBI tapping into your phone to just heads it up. You may want to like keep some stuff on the DL on the voice call.
There you go. Well, anyway, you know, I ended up exiting Dead Friends because I'm more interested in utility stuff right now. And so I listed into that pump and sold. And then I noticed, you know, I've been paying attention to Zeneca and what he's been doing in the space. And I know he joined Proof Collective, and the he has a project that's actually very similar to ours. It's called Zen Academy. I would actually go as far to say that it is a direct competitor to ours. And I noticed that he's got like the kind of whale pass equivalent, which is the Zen Academy 333, which there's only a supply of 333 of them. And right now the floor is 11 Ethereum on that. And there, it's liquid. Like there were sales this morning at 11 Ethereum, right? But then his basic one, the normal entry, the standard membership, was sitting at like 0.27. And it kind of hit me all at once. I went into our Discord and I pinged Elizabeth, our head of community. And I said, this is going to one ETH, right? And she basically was like, yup. So without hesitation, I sent it to Kicks, I sent it to Easy, I sent it to Wappy, and I just started buying them, you know, viciously.
You didn't send it to Jesse, keep going.
Sorry, Jesse. I bought 8 of them, 5 on my personal wallet and 3 on the company wallet, and then I like tweeted at Zeneca. He like got back to me, so we're friends now. Zen Academy quote tweeted it, and it ended up pumping to like 0.46, so I was pretty surprised at that. I feel like everybody kind of woke up at the same time. Right now, it's back down to 0.34, but that was like a play from yesterday that I feel really good about, and I'm interested in probably accumulating more if these dump under 0.3. I guess he just went on a 2-week European holiday, so I wouldn't be surprised if this does dip below 0.3 while he's literally, you know, AFK. So I think that there's going to be an opportunity to buy more of those, and obviously it's not going to pump in like one day, but it'll definitely be a decent long-term play. Easy, you were going to say something?
No, I was just saying too, I mean, seeing that pump to that 0.48 range shows that even now with the supply, unique holder count, etc., the floor is still relatively thin. I mean, between you, me, and Wappy just watching buy orders yesterday, we probably have 15 between the three of us, and that moved it up almost 50% traced higher. So just kind of looking at that price action too, and to your point, it's like you're betting on people in this case, and Zeneca is a massive name in this space. So I think we should really stop talking about it so that I could get a better entry and lower my average.
Well, what I was going to say, and is my audio better now? I feel like
much better.
Wiggled the is
much
it really
better.
Okay, great. So I wiggled the cable. Anyway, after me and Zeneca became best buds, he did turn around and buy 4 portals, and I think that prompted a little bit of a run on portals because our volume on portals was pretty crazy yesterday, and we're sitting here at a comfortable 0.22 ETH floor. And I mean, look, like when I look at the listings, the floor is really thin. I would have it pinned to the top, but I don't know if Twitter took away the ability to pin tweets. Yesterday and today, I wasn't able to pin tweets. But yeah, just want to throw that out there too. Jesse, what were you going to say?
No, I mean, I think that the Dead Fellas one is tricky. Like I said yesterday, I think there's a kind of a supply squeeze on the actual market for utilities. There's only so many places you can go to. You know, whether it's the Premint or BFF or, you know, CPG Goods is 60 ETH, Proof is 90 ETH, right? There's only so many. Roots Group, I could go through a few, but there's not a whole lot that you can go to. So it was really good timing by Zeneca to drop that. And yeah, I dumped my Dead Friends too. I still have a decent amount in Betty. I think there's the PFP, you know, projects are probably on a decline for a while. Well, we hit this phase. I have a few people, Betty, Wahid from Smiles, and a few others. I just think they're going to be around forever. And I think they're going to be, they have literally brand, like there's a brand to them, right? Like you recognize them instantly. I tweeted yesterday that, you know, that green, that Betty's green palette is like from a mile away, you can spot it. And that is a freaking brand. Like they're like every single derivative, it's like Betty, like I got it. Like, and so I think there's there. I mean, I've you know, I have a bag. I sold my Dead Friends. I agree. I think this is the time to do that. I think that was the smart play. I've said before, I can't be rational about Betty. I love her so much. Like if she were to offer to adopt me, I'd be like, go to my Nats mom and be like, hey mom, sorry. You know, it's a good 45 years, mom, but you know, I got a better offer and I got to go with Betty on this one. So I'm not saying to like buy on this, but Betty, Smiles, a couple others are like my only holdouts for PFPs, but everything else, I'm doing the exact same thing. If I get any pump on any of these like little random PFPs I still have, you know, pop art cats or something, like they're gone. And then I'm looking to build a bag in something that's more like, you know, Portals or BFF or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Pop Art Cats have a little bit of a pump coming up, or maybe in the next, like, you know, month or two, because it can take some time. But I know that Matt works really hard over there, and he's like kind of a workaholic. So it's not like a situation where a founder took the money and ran. It's a situation where the founder is just working all the time. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens there. Marco, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Jesse, I see what you did there talking about green and hazy. I can't wait to see Nick come out here today with a Jamaican accent. Can we get that going?
Oh, my God. No, we're not going to have Nick do a Jamaican accent, although I think that that would be really funny. We're not doing it. It's not going to happen.
But, yeah, I agree with the Dead Friends take and Dead Fellas. Obviously, you know, it's hard because they got left out of the whole Yuga Labs you know, other side ecosystem, or did they?
They did.
They are in the pitch deck. They were in the pitch deck.
They weren't in the spaceship with everybody else.
But I think part of that comes to that announcement yesterday. Like, I think part of this comes down to that UTA signing that they just had, because that's not a short process. Like, I think that's largely buying into why we haven't had many announcements or even much kind of content from their team, because something like that takes time. And I think that did play into a lot of it, but that's also like, now I don't know what's next for them. Like, they need something that's going to be even bigger than that and drive a little bit more hype than that. Maybe we'll actually get a Dead Friends roadmap, but like, at this point, I've been sitting on these bags for longer than I've sat on anything, which is probably a month, which sounds crazy. And I'm ready to get out. So
yeah, easy is a trader's trader for sure. It's a different bag than, you know, some people that have long-term holds like myself or Sig. Sig, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say on Dead Fellas, it's not in my portfolio anymore, but if it is in other people's portfolios, I definitely think it's a good bet, because if you look at Betty's background and what they were doing for the biggest brands in the agencies, give them time. And I really do think that they will be a project that will be able to create this IP within media, events, gaming, etc. And that's obviously what UTA is going to be helping them with. But when I was listening to Micah Johnson yesterday, you just realize that a lot of these PFP collections they're just not going to make it, either because they were too late, that they started trying to build these relationships with companies like UTA and other game changers out there. But it's too late because all the Web 2 players are coming in. And I think Micah Johnson just showed how hard it is to build IP. And I just feel maybe a lot of these projects don't actually have the contacts or the leverage to be able to take it to the next level. And by the end of this year, this is where we're going to see the separation of the wheat from the chaff, projects that have actually become businesses, and then projects which have just sort of become almost like a side hobby passion project.
Yeah, I mean, the supply on PFPs, we were all saying it, was really high. But the thing is like, there were still so many new artists to come into the space and people that had notable backgrounds from outside the NFT space, that we were like, oh, okay, it's going to, you know, it's going to be able to sustain. But then you get like a few juggernauts like Proof coming in, you know, you get people like the Nifty Portal that are going to do a PFP project, and all of a sudden it gets really, really hard to compete. Wink, wink. I want to throw to Paragon NFTs in a minute, but Chase has had their hand raised with that Moonbird. What's going on, Chase? We'll get to Paragon afterwards. What's up, Chase?
What's up, Pio? First time caller, long time listener, I guess you can say. So thanks for having me up.
Is it your first time? But you and me tweeted or something, DM'd or something, right?
Yeah, we exchanged a couple tweets, but it's my first time on stage.
So, okay, welcome.
Happy to be here. Thank you. I just wanted to give a quick thought on the Dead Fellas thing. One thing that's really interesting about Dead Fellas that I've just noticed over the past, you know, X amount of months or however long they've been live, is Dead Fellas holders just have kind of the ride or dies with Dead Fellas, it seems like, which is tough to fade, I think, in the long term. I don't hold, so I have literally no stake in Dead Fellas at all. But my observations are just that, like, people that I've seen with Dead Fellas, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, still rock their Dead Fella. And long term, you know, when you do say, okay, Coinbase NFT launches, and you have people coming into the space who have a little bit of ETH that's just been sitting in their Coinbase account, and now it's easier for them to buy an NFT, and they're looking around, oh, I can't buy a Doodle, it's expensive, Mutant's expensive. They're starting to understand the culture a little bit. There's a chance they look to Dead Fellas and say, okay, well, that's a reasonable price, and maybe that's where they enter. So that's kind of like my bull case on Deadfellas, is just that I think it's, you know, a lot of people really enjoy that community. Again, I'm not part of it, so you know, I can't attest to it necessarily, but when people come in, new entrants come in and they look around, I can see them kind of looking at Deadfellas.
Yeah, Deadfellas is absolutely badass. And I, like I said, I've been a holder for a long time. I just don't have infinite money. And I'm really, really excited about utility-based stuff right now. And considering the fact that me and Zeneca are best friends now, I needed to go ahead and support that project. So Paragon NFTs, you have our NFT as your background. So first of all, thank you. And it does say in your profile, you're also in Zen Academy. Well, now that me and Zeneca are best friends, I think we can talk about this. Which one's better?
I spend all my time in Portal.
Okay, I like it.
But I do go to Zen Academy daily multiple times because, you know, he does a lot of giveaways. So I literally participate in multiple raffles every single day. And I have to say, I won a lot of whitelists from them. So I do see a lot of value being a member of Zen Academy. I got in there actually when I was sitting at 0.1. That was a Christmas gift to myself.
Great move.
I really like being there. He puts in a lot of work. He actually just launched how to launch an NFT project course on NAS Academy. And actually, it's a $500 course. It's maybe 10 hours or so. But obviously, as a Zen Academy member, I get it for free. So there was value right there. Actually, right now, he did yesterday an AMA, Future of Zen Academy. It's still available, recording on his profile. And I don't mean to like advertise but on your competitor, but I just really think you two can probably like you go hand in hand with each other, and you add very different value, I think, like as a person who belongs to both.
Oh, yeah. We're best friends now. We will be holding hands for sure when we meet in person. So, I mean, look, if I listen to what you were saying, I feel like you're saying that you enjoy spending time in our Discord. Like maybe we're kind of a lot of fun, but Zeneca is more handsome.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I just feel like Portal is my home. And like I just kind of like vibe there, and I feel more comfortable. But in Zen Academy, I just, you know, maybe I just don't have much time to just be in both. But also, I just feel it's also very organized, very well presented. You know, like it's good to go there and just kind of get a different kind of information that I sometimes share as well. So, I mean, I don't know. I just like them both, but I feel Portal is just like my home.
Well, that makes me really happy. That's awesome. Did you mint your Portal? Like, have you been with us since mint?
Yeah, I actually have that frozen one, so I feel like an OG.
Oh, you are an OG's OG. Well, we're definitely gonna, you know, obviously I want to make sure that we, you know, reward the OG's OGs. We got some cool stuff coming up, some stuff that I'm actually really excited about. Nick should be here any minute now. He's busy trying to move into a new apartment, which if you know Nick at all, that's like a really big thing to do. That's like something that's like really hard, you know, like moving into an apartment. Like, if you ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, that you've kind of seen the way Nick goes through his day-to-day life. I was literally watching Curb last night, and it was honestly getting a little bit weird. I've been watching Curb for like 10 years, but when I watch it now, it just hits a little bit different because of how often I have to interact with Nick these days, considering we're co-founders in a business. Chase, you have your hand raised again. What's going on?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on the utility-based NFT thing, because I'm right there with you. For me, it's what's interesting about these utility-based NFTs, or maybe what are marketed as utility-based NFTs, and people are waiting on utility in certain areas. I think you could probably make that case with Moonbird specifically, where it's kind of speculative at the moment, at least. But, you know, you've seen it with Proof, and they've kind of laid out a plan of what they want to do. But the sentiment with these utility-based NFTs is so interesting, because it's, especially with Moonbird, you know, a lot of people bought one because they won the raffle, and then they're sitting there like, well, I want the utility. I don't want to sell. And like, that's, you know, that's why something like Proof goes up. I've got a friend of mine who's a Proof holder, and, you know, I'm like, dude, you're sitting on 100 ETH, you know, effectively 98 ETH gain. Like, how do you not just like realize that value? And he can't sell because the utility that he's getting from that community is so valuable. And what's fascinating too is, you know, valuable is subjective, right? It's what's valuable to me is different than what's going to be, you know, valuable to Easy or PR, et cetera. So I think it's why you're starting to see some of these small, you know, you look at a, you know, project maybe like Quantum Keys with Justin Aversano and the utility there. There's just so many of these kind of like really low collection number utility-based NFTs are starting to pop up. And I'm excited to see what sort of like CPG type utility-based NFTs get really popular. You know, is there a, you've kind of seen a few coffee ones spring up. Is there like a coffee utility-based NFT that can spring up? I'm a big coffee drinker. Is there a wine-based NFT that can spring up that's utility-based? And so obviously value as far as utility-based, it looks different depending on the holder, but it's been something that's interesting is the sentiment is generally the same where if someone has one, they just say, as the price keeps going up, they're like, well, I can't sell because I like the utility that I'm getting.
Yeah, you're totally right. And on the alcohol front, we're probably going to do a sponsored spot, I think, on Monday with an alcohol-based NFT platform that I'm actually really excited about. I was like, you know, we ask so many questions. If someone's going to sponsor us, we just like smash them with questions, obviously, because we can't like, you know, just be promoting bullshit. And I was, my smile was just getting bigger and bigger as they were responding to the questions. I was like, oh, wow, you guys are the real deal. So for all the utility people out there, I think you'll definitely like what comes there. And on the utility front, right, that's why me and Easy are so excited about the carton by Lyrical Lemonade, Cole Bennett. I just think that it's the same thing as, you know, Proof and as like VFriends and stuff. I don't even want to talk about it because people are just buying it and buying it and buying it. And I only have one and I wanted to buy more. But I mean, like they've announced, yeah, they've announced now that I guess they're going to do like casting calls for holders to be in the music videos. So I'm going to make a call now. Easy Eats is going to be in.
It's not going to matter what's going to happen. I am spending so much time in that Discord now. I will make an appearance.
Yeah, 100% Easy Eats is going to be in like a music video that has 25 million views on YouTube. I will not be because there's no shot I'm going to make the casting call. They're going to be like, he's too old. What's up with the beard? I don't know. But Jesse, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
I mean, yeah, this is just hitting. First of all, cartons. I mean, good luck getting under 2 ETH. We might get a lucky dip if they're quiet for a week. But I mean, crossing over on the utility and the 420. I mean, assume that there's going to be a bunch of, you know, there's been a lot of these marijuana NFTs. I assume there's going to be some drops. I don't know if there's any plays out there. I'd be willing to say, listen, I never got in. I never understood it. Like I said, no one wants to get drunk. No one wants to smoke weed in the metaverse. They have all these bars that you can go to. I mean, and I've said it before, like if you're an NFT and the utility is not getting me illegal drugs, like, I don't know what you're doing over there. But I mean, I don't know about you guys. When I was 19, I wasn't trying to manifest happiness like a goddamn loser like some of these people in the audience. I'm calling up Nick and Mooks. I'm calling up Uncle Nick at like 11 p.m. on a Friday night. Like, what you got for me, Nick? You got Monster Buds. You got Chill RX. I'm talking about real Chill RX. Like, take an edge off. Like, I got 50 on it. I smoke you out, Nick. What are we getting into?
Is that Brooklyn?
I wasn't getting on Fortnite and playing like multiplayer games. So if you have if you're an NFT, all seriousness, I never understand. I know there's a weed culture outside of actually smoking weed. I get it. Like, right, Snoop. I've worn a freaking shirt with a marijuana leaf on it, but I never understood any of these marijuana NFTs, and I don't know if anybody either has. I know people have obviously. I'm sure Kicks makes money on everything, is made on momentum trades, but I don't know if anybody either is into them or has any plays today. I'm assuming they all have some stupid event they're going
to
do.
Well, Micah G, shout out to Micah G, who has, I think, just been busy with In Real Life stuff and hasn't been on the show in a while. But Micah G made a huge guap on Monster Buds, if you remember that project. But that was definitely one where you had to sell it to be able to realize the gains, because I think that it dumped. Jesse, I'm picturing you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, full head of hair, you know, just in Brooklyn, burning it down. Is that an accurate picture? Is that what we're seeing when we think of old school Jesse?
Oh my God. I'll show you my old driver's license and the NFT NYC. I had long hair. People would just come up to me randomly and be like, yo, you do mushrooms? I'm like, I'm not even looking. I'm just like in Central Park. I'm like, okay, yes. I mean, yes, I do. But like, you don't have to like initiate the transaction.
Are they going to debar you for talking about doing mushrooms on
a
stage?
I don't do anything. My parents still smoke weed. But now, you know, now the culture's changed so much. It's not even, I feel like everybody is, it's so much more open than it used to be. But no, I don't smoke anymore. But no judgment either. I mean, I used to do criminal defense law. So trust me, no judgment. Like, violent drug dealers owe me favors. So yeah, I'm not a snitch, but no, I don't smoke weed.
Man, Jessica's airing it out this morning. Okay, guys, I see you.
Captain Kicks, you were going to add something there? Maybe not. So Node, I saw you bought in a Zen Academy while we were talking about it. Did I inspire you?
Yep, FOMO purchase right away. And now I'm staring down at the cartons, wondering if I want to put my remaining ETH in there.
Here's the difference.
Hey, wait, we're going to stop talking about it for the next 6 to 7 days so that we both can get a better entry as well. It's nothing for you. It's entirely selfish for the two of us, but there will be a better entry.
Well, real quick on the Zen Academy thing, you know, we're lucky that Zeneca is a UK guy, I think, or a European guy, because he's going on like a 2-week vacation, it seems. And so I have to think that things are going to be priced better. Someone in our Discord just said Zeneca is going on holiday for a month. You dumbasses, just wait. So that's the caliber of information that you can get from our Discord, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, someone's like, he's Australian, man. My bad. I'm not that good with accents, I guess. But anyway, with the carton thing, the problem note is that their team's just so damn good and they just get it. And the guy Cole is just hands on, so it's pretty tough to think that that's going to go under 2 ETH, but never say never.
Yeah, well, I'll probably just buy. I'm not too worried about like a little 10 or 20% dip at these levels. So, yeah, consider me FOMOing in. Maybe what I'll do is, I don't know if you saw this, but MFers did an airdrop to all their holders.
No.
I think it was this morning. So I woke up to an airdrop, and it's worth like 0.3 ETH right now, I think, is the floor. So,
damn it,
y'all, I got to figure out what to do there. But I'm pretty excited. The art is pretty cool. It's they're called Crazies, spelled Crezyie by Ray Larsdam. And I probably should know who he is. But
people in our
Discord,
they've been talking about Crazies all morning.
Yeah, it looks good. Like, I mean, they look crazy. But the art is pretty sick, in my opinion. So.
Oh, sorry. They've been talking about weirdos. Sorry, poor crazies, weirdos. But I think I did see someone say something about crazies. But yeah, I mean, so wait, how many MFers do you have, Node?
I just have one. I bought it at 0.25 or something. So, and this airdrop, apparently they're selling for right about, I've got an offer for 0.26 right now. So that could pay for my MFer right there.
Oh, shit.
How do you spell it?
What's that?
How do you spell it again?
Yeah.
Crezyie.
Crazies. Check them out. MF or airdrop. I was just trying to let Bouvet on stage, who is our, I believe he's Mongolian. He's our Mongolian beatboxing amigo who told us to buy a Crocolips and we didn't listen to him. And then a Crocolips ran by over 50%. And since it's 420, I was hoping to get him to do a little beatbox as well. He said that beatboxing harms his body. He's basically sacrificing his body for his art form, but he'll do it on this stage because he rocks with us. So I really appreciate that, the artistic drive, the artistic integrity. It's almost like The Black Swan by Darren Aronofsky starring Natalie Portman, just putting your body on the line for the art form. So I hope that Bouvet can come back. I think Twitter rugged him just like they're rugging my ability to pin our NFT to the top so all of you awesome audience members can know to buy it. Chase, you have your hand raised again, and then we're going to kind of move on to some new speakers. What's going on, Chase?
Yeah, perfect timing. I was going to say, Pio, I got to jump. I just want to say thanks for having me up. It was fun to chat with you guys and my first appearance on the NFT Morning Alpha show. So enjoyed it.
Absolutely, man. And I want to hear more in the future about PWC. I want to hear proprietary information that you guys are doing over there, all that stuff. I'm really excited about it.
There you go. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Sounds good. So look, I asked Nick if he's going to come. He's probably dealing with like a maintenance person or like the Verizon guy that's setting up his Wi-Fi.
Nick, I got movers moving me in. I don't have to lift shit, but it's so stressful. I don't know what like room I want to put my bed in and my couch. And like, I don't know like how to use the elevator yet. Like I know what floor I'm on, but like sometimes I press the wrong button. This is so stressful. P.O., come help me out.
That's exactly what's going on right now, I have to think. If you guys want to see something funny, go to a dinner that Nick hosts at an expensive restaurant. I was at a dinner with him that had like AJ Vaynerchuk, the founder of PoApp, the founder of Manifold Richard, so many like kind of NFT heavy hitters. And the service was like taking too long. And you just see Nick like basically running around the restaurant, like grabbing managers, grabbing service people, and just being like, what's going on? It's honestly pretty funny, man. It's kind of like watching an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh, Nick's texting me saying, let him on, mofo. But I don't see him in the crowd. I don't see you, Nick.
A burner, I'm sure.
Nick, you on a burner, buddy? I didn't know you had a burner. But if I do see you, obviously,
I think about the World of Warcraft economy a lot.
Yeah, I don't see
you,
man.
What percentage of my hours spent playing WoW were actually
just playing Gentle Tornado on stage too. Gentle Tornado disappeared. Twitter, I got big problems with Twitter right now. I bought Twitter stock like 6 months ago because, they tell you to buy the stock of the thing that you use all the time. I'm literally on Twitter all day. The stock went down 50% after I bought it. What's going on with Elon Musk buying this thing? What the hell, Twitter? You want to fumble the ball more? What is going on? Jesus Christ. Sorry for the rant, ladies and gentlemen, but I just hate it when people fumble the ball so hard on things that should be good. This is absolutely preposterous. I feel like I'm flailing now. I can't pin tweets. I can't let Bouvet on stage. I don't see Nick. Gentle Tornado still connecting. What is going on, Twitter? All right.
You do realize that Twitter's been like the worst stock to buy for the last decade, right? Like, it's never been a good idea.
Well, I didn't know that when I bought the thing, and I know Captain Kicks bought call options on it. Kicks, are you still underwater on those, or did you exit? Now Kicks is right.
I may be screwed on those.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks, Jack. And Jack Dorsey left. He's like, I'm going to go change the future of the world with Bitcoin, which obviously I appreciate. But Dorsey, you started Twitter first, buddy. And the NFT space, the Bitcoiners are on Twitter too. Vicky, what's going on?
Jesus Christ, I feel so stressed. But while everyone's shouting at each other and Nick's screaming at maintenance men and everybody and Jesse's telling us he smokes weed, I'm just quietly opening my Coinbase account and I'm in, motherfuckers.
Okay, all right. So is that your message of that you're in, MFers, right now on Coinbase?
I've just got on the wait list after obviously years and years of waiting. I was worried that I would end up in a senior home before I got access, but good news. So yeah, that's a start. There's no one following me and I'm not following anybody. So we're off to a flying start.
That sounds awesome. And just real quick to Gentle Tornado and to Nick, leave the space, quit Twitter, open Twitter again, join the space again, try to join again. I don't know what to tell you. This is ridiculous. Marco, you got your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, just we had Wapi up here, so I figured it's macro hour. But anyway, you were talking about stocks. Two picks related to the day-to-day are very low-risk areas, extremely low. If you zoom out to the monthly chart, Tilray, Sundial, both hot picks, in my opinion, had some positive legislation in the U.S. recently. A bill go through to the House, I think. Not sure what happened after, but... those things. And then on the macro note, we were talking about uranium recently, but one thing that's very interesting is maritime shipping companies. If you guys have a look at some companies like Castor Maritime, CTRM.
Do they make maritime NFTs, Marco?
No.
Then I don't give a shit.
Physical dry bulk shipping companies. So those are all hot picks. But anyways, I just wanted to throw those out there and sprinkle the monthly macro talk.
No, I appreciate it, Marco. And I know that you're a super smart guy. You're a full-time trader. And I value the shit out of the picks that you put out there. Post them in the Discord for sure. I want to keep the show focused on NFTs. I wanted to let Hasafi from our Discord on stage, because I know he's also been getting experience speaking on the Nifty community spaces. And I saw that he requested to speak. And what a surprise. Now his request is gone. Twitter is on fire. Wapi, what are you seeing in the market? You're a moonbird. Should I buy a moonbird here? Should I convert Bitcoin into ETH and then buy a Moonbird?
I told you I didn't like that idea. I told you that you've screwed yourself by becoming the Aku Diamond Hand of Diamond Hands, and that I like the holding the Bitcoin. So I don't know about selling the Bitcoin for this thing. I was just saying there was something in the air last night everything felt a little bullish. It felt like tax day might have been past us finally. Everybody was starting to spend some of that cash. I rolled into an ape trade last night from like 13, sold out above 16, rolled it right into a world position, quick flipped there, and then rolled it right into a looks position and quick flipped there, and then went to bed last night with a quick like 0.5 in coin flip profits. So coin flipping, people, if you're not making money in the NFT space, go to coins.
Well, yeah, go to ApeCoin. What other coins? Like, seriously, like,
DGEN coin flip, the Solana game where you can gamble on heads or tails. I'm so pro coins, you know, just can't possibly lose on that 50-50 bet.
No, do you have something to add?
Nothing to add on that. Just wanted to bring this up to Easy because I know you really want me to say this, but I did just buy a carton. So I'm pretty excited. I want everyone to know that the carton is legit because I bought it. So please pop my bags and let's keep talking about it.
All right. Well, I just let Jarrito on stage, who is on the team of Carton, but we're not going to talk about Carton. I told him to come on stage to talk about what he's seeing in the NFT space outside of the Carton. What's going on, Jarrito?
Yeah. Hey, appreciate it. You got the name right. I love it. I was curious with I was trying to talk about this in the Discord yesterday, but with just Coinbase doing this new marketplace, and it looks like beta launched today. Obviously, Coinbase has tons of users and kind of look at it as like an on-ramp to the NFT market from those users. What do you guys kind of see like being some of the projects that could take off here? Because like the way I feel is like some of those mid-blue chips, like I think it's Arcopolis, the alligator-looking thing, like it's low price, so it's like low entry, you know, for somebody to get in. I don't see like projects like BayC or some of these big, like, you know, even Moonbirds, like really taking off or not necessarily taking off, but benefiting from this because of such the high entry point. But I was just kind of curious, like what people's thoughts were on that.
It's a great question. Anyone have any thoughts? I'm assuming a part of that question, are you framing it like, you know, what would somebody that's a Coinbase user, but maybe not a deep NFT market participant already, what would they be attracted to? Is that what I'm kind of reading?
Yeah. NFT on Coinbase, in my opinion.
Whatever the cheapest one is.
I'm dead serious. The cost of entry is going to be the biggest factor there. And if they actually do like no gas or something, or let you buy with USD, credit card, whatever, I think it's going to be like the cheapest barrier to entry. I could see something like Smiles doing really well because people like that kind of visualization. It's, in my opinion, it is going to be tough for the PFPs. Obviously, you're not, most Coinbase users aren't putting $300,000, $400,000 on there to buy an ape. Like, if you haven't already done that, you're probably not going to. But I do think there's some opportunity for some of those lower to even like kind of mid chips that are around one, if not just under one, that could see most of that volume. I do think like Coinbase's probably like average wallet isn't that crazy, just because of like the average user base. Like, I think of Coinbase as like the Robin Hood to enter crypto. The people who are familiar with crypto and NFTs have probably already been in the space.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought about that. When you think about a new platform that is not a decentralized platform, right? So like, for example, LooksRare. When LooksRare launched, you could just put any NFTs that are on OpenSea on it. But it seems like with Coinbase, similar to Nifty Gateway, there's a bit of curation that goes into it. So that also provides a little bit of validity to the people that are coming in from outside the space that maybe had exposure to crypto and a Coinbase account but didn't have NFTs already. So when you think about it like that, yeah, I actually really like what Easy said. I think the cheapest thing on Coinbase, whatever that is, and I think somebody said that our NFTs on Coinbase. I don't know how that works.
Nifty portal to the moon.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it isn't curated then, or maybe it is. Maybe I'm not confident in myself over here. But I don't know what the story is with that. Wappy, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, just to Easy's point about the low wallets on Coinbase. I know people who were buying Ethereum in like 2017. And they've never done anything with it. It's still sitting there. So there might be a lot of people there who do have, like, they didn't put a lot of money in there, but like now it's worth way more than it was. So you got to figure out how to trick them into finally spending it.
Quick question. Can you pay with cash in Coinbase for NFTs?
Well, you technically use a credit card on OpenSea now. So I think we're trending.
Yeah, but that OpenSea fee is like 5% because they use MoonPay for it. It's crazy. Mm. Coinbase will let you It's the instant deposit. So think of it from that perspective. Like, you can literally use a credit card. I think they do guide you through entering a credit card. And I think behind the scenes, they make the purchase for ETH and convert. But to you, it feels more like a credit card purchase. Yeah. So I think their user experience is going to be kind of the driving factor there. But it's still, like, I'm so hesitant to even be – it's the same thing, like, when OpenSea got Sol NFTs. Like, you're not going to see this crazy adoption or mass money flow in just because Coinbase is now using it. People don't even want to withdraw money because Coinbase sends you a 1099, you know?
I really like when you can pay for NFTs in dollars, because I don't like resetting my cost basis on ETH. I'm trying to put everything in long-term capital gains bucket, and I would love if it could just be – if everything I buy could just be in dollars, so I'm not, you know, spending that ETH and selling it effectively.
Yeah, I mean, we saw someone in our Discord just said NFTs plus credit cards is a terrible idea, and I agree with that. We already saw that with the Nifty Gateway bubble bursting in early 2021. People were floating around their spreadsheets to show the credit card arbitrage that they were doing. It was like, this is all my credit card debt from buying NFTs, but this is the current value of the NFTs. I'd say that that probably lasted for like 3 to 4 weeks before it literally became the most disastrous situation for anybody that did that. Eric just confirmed in our Discord that we are on Coinbase. The portal is on Coinbase. So
yeah, verified
cool.
And everything. That's crazy.
That's pretty cool.
I was going to say as well, if I was a Coinbase user and I knew nothing about NFTs, I would be, I mean, obviously I won't know the names of the projects. I won't know Deadfellows. I won't know Cryptodes. So I'd be looking for public figures who have a large following and I know their names. So it would be people like Blau, people like Gary Vaynerchuk. I think those kind of public figures will be the ones who have an advantage, well, a first mover advantage on Coinbase in terms of attracting the new wallets.
Well, you actually brought up a good point though, too. We were talking about that Zeneca Pass earlier, which is all about like onboarding, training, et cetera. Zeneca's also on the front page of the Coinbase NFT marketplace.
Oh, shit.
Like the literal front page.
Dude.
So like that alone, I'm sitting there looking at it like low barrier to entry because of that cost price. A public figure with a massive following on social media, so the likelihood of people who are unfamiliar with the space following that individual is high.
And it's called Zen Academy. It's teaching new people how to get in. That's pretty cool.
His entire goal is to onboard and train. So like this, I'm probably going to buy more.
That's going to be good. Hey, he's on holiday. Remember, Europeans, Signal, I'm looking at you. You guys love to go on those long holidays. I've seen it before. What are you doing in August, Signal? What are you doing in August?
Well, I just need to go to beaches that have good Wi-Fi, and I'm already scoping them out when I'm going to be in Ibiza. I'm like, who has good reception?
Mm-hmm. What's the other one? It begins with an M. What's it called?
Mykonos.
Well, no, there's another
Mykonos
one.
Marbella.
The one in Spain with that begins with an M.
Malaga?
Yeah,
Mallorca?
Mallorca. That's the one. That Mallorca's the one. That's the trendy one from right before COVID. Yeah, I love how these different places become trendy. But yeah, I know how you Europeans get down. 1 month vacation. Totally makes sense. Node, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I'd love to get, you know, a download. Was it you, Vicky? Who has actual access to the platform? Like, I'd like to know what it looks like, what's happening in there for those of us that are not yet invited.
Yeah, so at the moment, I can obviously see my profile. I can see the Discover page. So I can find, obviously, the Nifty portal. I can't buy any Nifty portals because, obviously, no one's listed them yet within that platform. They've already announced that there's not going to be any fees as well. So I can also, on each image as well that's listed, for example, someone's listed a flower girl, I can actually put a comment. It reminds me a lot of, in some ways, of Instagram. I can put a comment underneath that NFT as well. And then you can see on the right-hand side all the stats of what NFT you're looking at as well. So, from what I'm looking at straight away, it's pretty clean. It's very seamless as well. Now, whether that will stay the same when there's obviously, but I think obviously no fees will cause a lot of people to list on there and try it out, which would be good.
I think also what would be interesting about this thing about the no fees is now we have to look at the aggregators because there are so many new platforms coming out. There's a new one, I believe the name is Oku. It's a US cryptocurrency firm based in San Francisco. So you have all these players coming out. They're all trying to attract us by having zero fees. Nifty Gateway just announced that the sale of Akutars won't have any fees as well. So instead of everybody trying to run around, trying to go to these individual platforms, it just makes more sense if someone like Gem.xyz or any of these players just allow us to aggregate, list across all of these platforms, exclude OpenSea if we don't want to sell on there. And then that's and that's how we can have exposure to all of them without having to have manage our wallets across all the individual platforms.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. And what I could theoretically see happening is what you call the race to the bottom, like the race to zero. And you're starting to see that with cryptocurrency exchanges specifically. For example, Jack Mahler's Strike platform has basically, it's like a fraction of a percentage. It's probably like 1 or 2 basis points, the fee to buy Bitcoin. And he cites Robinhood because Robinhood taking away the commissions for trading stocks obviously prompted everybody to do the same thing. Now, if you buy stocks on Vanguard, Charles Schwab, Chase, doesn't matter, there's no fee. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a race to the bottom, because when you think about it, OpenSea takes 2.5% of every single NFT trade. And if you look at the volume of trading that happens on the platform, you have to think that they're making this exorbitant amount of money, and yet there's still so many complaints from customers. So I have to think that, yes, they got first movers advantage. Yes, they built the platform that everybody uses, but I have to think that they are not running their business as well as they possibly could. I don't think that that's me throwing shade. I think that that's pretty easy to see when everybody complains about OpenSea and they're absolutely printing money. So if a competitor can come through with a competent platform that has little to no fees, because think about it, if you attract NFT space volume, I mean, shit, I see it with our NFT. Like, we got, you know, the royalties that we get with a 5% royalty on our NFT, and we're not even one of the biggest projects in the space, right? So if you're literally getting a percentage of every damn trade on the platform with a bunch of bozos wash trading and all the weird stuff that goes on too, you'll be able to run a platform that people want. So don't be surprised if with this Coinbase stuff coming out, Nifty Gateway evolving, Looks Rare still kicking around, OpenSea continuing to fuck up, that there might be another platform that comes through. Look, it's 420. I got Bouvet on stage. I also want to call one thing out from the Discord. People are like, yo, Pio hates Europeans. Damn, get out of here, man. My parents are from Italy. I'm from an immigrant family. I'm just messing around. Get out of here, man. And Bouvet, I know you brought us a Crocolips and we faded you on that. I mean, I didn't fade you. I just didn't buy it. But I definitely want a 420 freestyle from you as well, or excuse me, a 420 beatbox if you're up for it, because I know you put your body on the line. But yeah, what's going on, Bouvet?
Yeah, it's good to be back, guys. Been 2.5 weeks. I bet you missed me,
Who's counting, Bouvet? Who's counting?
Yeah, I'm counting, man. Counting every day. All right.
I can see that.
So 2 weeks, guys. 2 weeks. I told you about this project. This is Bouvet with the croc up here. Crocodile, you see it?
I see it.
I told you guys when the floor was 0.67. And now it's at 1.2. And the reason was they released the white paper yesterday. And they have the paper drop coming on the 420. And as you know, the creator, Sam Wiki, I blame NFTs. He's the creator of this. And he actually founded paperhands.gg, right? The site where you see where you paperhanded a lot of stuff. So I can't pin something up here, and it's my most recent tweet. If you want to check out the white paper, it has some amazing stuff in here. What I did was, since I told it at 0.67, now it's like 1.22x, I upgraded some of my Crocs, sold some, and then I got another new alpha, if you guys are interested. The new move is meta cards, and I'm sure you guys will say, oh, that's just like a project with a bunch of influencers, but I heard the owner 2-3 times on a podcast, and he seems to be very serious about taking over the digital world, because he even got Donald Trump and Khabib and all those UFC fighters on his podcast, the Full Send podcast. So if you search meta cards, they're at 1+ ETH right now. Their mint price was 0.8. I think, but this I have to label as a long-term play, so 3 months minimum. It could go to, I think, easily to 2 ETH. So yeah,
Wappy was in that one.
Tweet on this anyway. They, so
yeah, they have a huge audience. Wappy was in that one. Wappy, you like Full Send over here?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm out of Full Send.
Okay. two different opinions. But Bouvet, I don't want to fade you, man. What else you got, Bouvet?
I mean, I'll just say this. They just got Gary, not to cut Bouvet off. They just got Gary to buy. So they just got the Gary touch of either
legitimacy,
death or gold.
Okay.
Bouvet. They never went below the floor, right? Because they dipped 2-3 times, but they never went below the mint price of 0.8. So that's why I was kind of safe to hold mine. It's up to you guys. Do your own research. Research the Nelk boys, Full Send, Metacards, and do your research because the floor is kind of stable at one ETH for a week now. So Gary Vee has one. Justin Bieber has one. You guys do your research. Okay, I'm jumping to the beatbox, PO. Yeah,
yeah, and right? Real quick, before you beatbox, I was going to say I appreciate that call, a Full Send. That's not a, as we call it, like a YMCA type call. That's like a legit call. So I really appreciate that, and I am going to do my own research, especially after your Croc rip. But go ahead.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it. Okay, this one is – a lot of people liked it when I did it in a small room. It's for all the NFT projects out there. I don't wanna know if you're playing me, keep it on the low, cause my heart can't take it anymore. If you're rugging me, please don't let him. NFT Morning Alpha, this is Bue. I'm out, guys.
Hey!
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
My God, Bouvet, look at that little freestyle with a little bit of microphone work. That's what I'm fucking talking about. 420 freestyles. Motherfucking Bouvet coming through with the good projects, with the freestyle. Hey, tell Cole Bennett about that one. Yeah, Harito, I keep doing the roll dars. Easy wants me to throw to Soul Legend. I'm gonna throw to Soul Legend, who's a very smart guy. What's going on?
Yo, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me back on the show. I've just been taking it in. Honestly, I'm doing more and more on ETH these days. I bought an Azuki 2 days ago, and yeah, I'm gonna be going to NFT events, pretending like I'm an ETH maxi, and then, you know, quickly just converting people to Solana. And then when they ask me my name, I'm gonna say SolanaLegend.eth.
Very nice, very nice. So you're gonna dox yourself though in person?
Yeah, I mean, not really dox, right? Because people will just, they won't know my name, they'll just know my face, but they won't even be able to pick me out from a crowd. So I'll just be a snake in the grass. And a good ambassador for Soul. But in all seriousness, I am trying to do more and more on ETH. I think like this narrative of just getting ETH whales to come to Soul is not gonna like work. I mean, a lot of smart money has already come in, but we gotta like meet you guys halfway, or, you know, just like hang out with you. And then honestly, there's a lot of money to be made on ETH as well, right? So
Why doesn't Solana come to ETH and become a layer 2 for Ethereum?
Bro, a layer 2, calm down. I mean, when our network is down, we're doing like 20 times a TPS. I mean, ETH can be a layer 2 for Sol. How about that?
Whoa, I did not see that coming. Sol Legend bites back if you try to talk smack about Sol. So Sol Legend, you bought an Azuki. My God, deep pockets, huh, buddy?
Bro, I mean, here's the thing, right? The way I look at it is like I had $100,000 and I was like, okay, what do I do? So I, you know, transferred it over, and then I thought, okay, I'm going to buy a Moonbird. And then I was like, wait, what am I talking about? These things have like 11x in one day. What's going to happen when people start selling those and they rotate to Mutant Apes and Azukis? Mutant Apes were like 32 and Azuki was 25 and it's a Genesis collection. So I was like, you know what? This seems like the easiest trade of my life. See you at 100 ETH, boys.
Well, look, I'm really glad that you're bringing this up, because I had a moment last night where I was like, why don't I turn 1.5 Bitcoins into a Moonbird? I'm pretty sure you can check me on the math. One Moonbird is exactly 1.5 Bitcoins. And I'm like, I think I should probably do that. But then I was like, well, I should have done that when Moonbirds first came out and they were 8 ETH. That was so stupid. I could add 2 or 3 of them for the same price. But so you like Azuki at a higher floor than Moonbirds, even after the Bean reveal was underwhelming versus a Moonbird?
The answer is yes. I mean, okay, let me take a step back. Like, I would never fade Proof. I think they're just giga-brained, and, like, the Moonbirds will do well. I think they continue to run up. But just from a pure, like, investing perspective, something that's been consolidating for a few months now, like Azuki, where even if the Beans are a bit of a letdown, I think they're a letdown to people in the West because, like, they haven't spent time in Thailand or in, you know, like, Hong Kong or other places like that where, like, these, like, messaging apps like Line are massive. Like, I was in Thailand for a summer, right, when I was working for an investment bank, and, like, the messaging apps there and, like, the emojis and the stickers are, like, a huge business. Like, the whole country was, like, waiting for, like, a new sticker pack to come out, right? And these things have the same aesthetic. So I think what the West is not understanding is that this is really catering to a slightly different audience with the Beans. But anyways, they'll look better when they're at 20 ETH. What I'm trying to say is that, like, you know, it was just a pure value play for me. And I'm bullish on, like, a Genesis collection. And it was either a Mutant Ape or an Azuki. I could have copped a Moonbird as well, but I was kind of, like, feeling FOMO because my friend on Seoul is actually the top holder. He has 39 of them. So I was like, yeah, he kept telling me to buy an Azuki instead. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to fade this guy. He's got 15 Azukis as well and 20 Clonex. So the dude's a whale. And he's telling me basically Azuki is the easiest trade right now is what he told me.
We love the Azuki, baby. Thank you for pumping my bags. But hey, I appreciate the affirmation. Everyone was dunking on me yesterday for trying to point out some nuances with the Beans that just because we don't like them doesn't mean that they might not be a big deal. So I actually do think I'm holding out hope, even though I personally don't love the art. But after looking at some of the context there and seeing, like, that sticker company you talked about, they did like $270 million in sticker sales in a year. And it's like very, very similar vibes. The other thing to note is that those Beans had been there like from the beginning, right? So this wasn't something they just threw on right at the last second. Like they had this little, like, you know, the little claw machine where you grab the toy. Like that was there early on, and it, you know, it alluded to those little Beans. So I think it's all part of their master plan. So I'm hopeful as well. But Mr. Soul, I'd love to ask you a question about your Solana monkey business, because I bought one trying to like expand out from ETH over to Soul, and I just kind of figured all value accrues to the top, so I bought a Solana monkey, but I honestly know very little. Are you? I imagine you're bullish.
Oh, he's biased. Come on, he's never sold one. He owns like 30 of the damn things. Runs the monkey DAO. Obviously, he's bullish.
Well, I want to hear the bullish from the bullish, straight from the bullish guy's mouth. So
I mean, guys, it's pretty simple, right? Like, first PFP on Seoul, 5,000 supply, and the art is sick. I mean, it's not for absolutely everyone, but I find, like, women like it, men like it. It's universal, and it has the DAO, the Monkey DAO, which I founded, which is, like, basically the highest concentration of builders on Solana. It's not even close. It's the first NFT DAO on Solana. So it's a tier one PFP, obviously the first. It's OG. And it's got, like, everybody in the ecosystem that you need to meet is in there. So, like, you know, for less than 10 ETH, I think it's like 7 ETH right now for an SMB. It's kind of a no-brainer. Like, it's kind of crazy that the top PFP on Solana costs like 7 ETH. But that's the world we live in.
Can I just tell you, I'm so upset when Solana NFTs were first popping off. I think Salamis was like number three. I dumped so much money into Salamis. It was my first like real big purchase in NFTs after like starting October 2020. That was really when I took the plunge. And I was like, I love the SMBs, also the monkeys. And I chose Salamis, you know, I was like, these are fucking sick and they haven't pumped yet. Excuse my French. And I held those to the dirt, man. And I that was the worst mistake I've ever made in my life. So just I just want to say that. I'm still trying to sell them.
That's probably just the worst mistake ever in your whole life, Marco?
Dude said my entire life, the worst mistake I've ever made.
Hands down. Hands down.
Marco, have you ever had so a hard. Collection be delisted from Seoul? Because I have.
No, that's brutal.
That's fun. That's a good time. If you guys haven't minted something only for right after you mint the Discord get deleted, you've never really traded Seoul. Like, plain and simple.
Yeah, bro. It's pretty Wild West out there. But honestly, I think there's still, like, good collections, right? I think the teams aren't as strong as on ETH just because you guys are, like, way further down the road. And some of the teams on ETH, I mean, if they weren't doing NFTs, they could probably raise, like, 50 mil at Series A. But, yeah, we'll get there is the short answer. And it's a bet worth taking, in my opinion, just because if you see the moves that the MonkeyDAO and Solana Monkey Business is making, like, we just had an event in Solana Miami at like the W Hotel with like 120 members, right? Super bullish. And also, I don't know, there's a few others. I'm really bullish on Soul Gods, which is like this cool like abstract art collection, fine art PFP type thing, but they're crazy. They keep building. And then aside from that, Boryoku Dragons are like Cyber Kongs on Solana. They've got like Farouk, Fuck Render, Kazumura Medici, like all these guys are in. I think that's a no-brainer if you have the money. But also, I wanted to talk briefly about Near NFTs. I'm not sure if you guys are into those, but I think
I've been debating getting in. My only concern is Legend. I just see a bunch of like the Seoul big names literally pumping and dumping trash projects on Near. Like, it drives me crazy because like they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm getting heavy into Near, and then 2 days later they're like, yeah, I tried Near, it was cool, made 100x, and everyone else who tailed just gets burned.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. But also, if you just look at what that layer one's about to do with an algo stablecoin like USN,
yeah,
just like Terra, just like, I mean, just like Luna Terra. And like, honestly, bro, when the top NFT is $800 and that's your downside, and this thing could 20x when this chain starts attracting mad liquidity from DeFi, like, it's not a bad bet. And I bought a bunch of Near Knots, which are kind of like these cool psychedelic like astronauts, and then these ASACs, like Anti Social Ape Club or whatever it's called, like they're pretty cool. It's like not something you can use to anchor your portfolio, but I mean, putting in a few grand, you might just come back and it's like 20 or 30K. So
yeah, I'm looking there, AVAX and FTM for some of the up and coming marketplaces too, just to try to get more exposure.
Well, let me tell you, Soul Legend, you make me a lot more bullish on the Solana NFT ecosystem, and I really mean that, man. You are welcome to come on the stage and talk anytime you want. I really appreciate you coming up. Jarito, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I just came across this. This is actually very interesting. I don't know if you guys remember LimeWire from back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
They're launching an NFT marketplace for music NFTs specifically.
It's interesting, right? It's pretty interesting. If the team is legit and they execute, there could be an opportunity there. But yeah, people have been talking about that. It's not the original LimeWire team, I don't believe. I think it's a team that kind of acquired the IP, probably because of the nostalgic value. I mean, it's not the worst play. When you look at the internet meme stuff that works, it's not the worst play.
No, I actually like that. Did you also see, too, that's still up and coming. Supposedly, they're still trying to figure out beta testers for the LimeWire piece. The other thing I'm interested in, too, is the NBA NFT that drops today. So the NBA is doing an NFT called the Association. It's free for all minters who got into the Discord before 10K or something. Only gas. It actually goes live in like an hour and a half. But it's a dynamic NFT, so they give you one of 75 players. And as that player progresses through the playoffs, it'll adapt. So I'm definitely going to be minting it today. I'm hoping for like a Luka Doncic, a Steph Curry, maybe a Giannis. And I think there's value there. So, I mean, if you can kind of get those reveals in 2 days, yeah, it's an ETH project. So interested in that.
Okay. And Paragon NFTs, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I actually had a question. I wanted to raise a question about the Random Character Collective.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now that the attention is mostly on Moonbirds and the other side and kind of like stayed away from it, I feel like Marcus and Coin Billy are working on something. And I feel like something might be coming soon. And they haven't really rewarded those holders of Mood Rollers and Slim Hoods that were holding it through the whole Invisible Friend launch. So, and right now they're kind of sitting fairly low and people are accepting offers at 0.35. So maybe that could be a play there. I feel like something should be coming out soon.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chart right now for Invisible Friends, and like the chart looks like it's bottoming. I have to think that this is starting to bottom. Maybe it goes a little bit lower, but first of all, they're trading at like 5.5 ETH. I bet if you put an offer out there at 4.8 or 4.9 ETH on a floor one, that it'll get accepted. And also keep in mind, I'm pretty sure that Motion Marcus, don't 100% quote me on this, but I think he was like in Ukraine during, you know, the mess that happened and is happening over there. And I think he had to like get out. I'm not 100% on that. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I feel like there's a lot going on with that. And it's a quality creator, a really, really strong creator that had the most hyped up drop ever. And it's still holding over 5.5 ETH. So
yeah,
I mean, I like bringing that up for sure.
And even with those OG projects that they started with, this Mood Rollers and Slim Hoods, I feel like those could be a play too, because again, they have to do something for the people that were holding them through 2.5 ETH, you know, floor.
Yeah. And so Slim Hoods is at 0.43. We gave away a Slim Hood a month ago when the president of FTX came on the stage. It was at like 0.6 at that point. So it hasn't even retraced that much. The unique ownership is over 50%. There's only a 5,000 supply. There aren't very many motion graphic PFP projects. If they, yeah, I think that they're going to come out with something good. Look, Coinbilly, he got his start in our Discord and in no time, you know, blew up in the space basically and became one of the lead mod, like the community manager of Random Character Collective. He is an incredibly smart guy. I would not bet against Random Character Collective. And if Coinbilly starts like hinting at stuff, it ain't bullshit. Like, it's for real. He started hinting about buying Slim Hoods in our Discord when they were at 0.01 ETH. And I'm not exaggerating. 0.01 was the floor price. And Coinbilly was like, you're probably going to want to get some Slim Hoods. They ended up going north of 1 ETH.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a good call out for sure. Look, I wanted to have Gentle Tornado come on stage because it's his birthday and it's 420 and we can do a little bit of wild stuff because it's 420. But Twitter is just relentlessly rugging him over and over and over again. So sorry, Gentle Tornado. We'll have to have you on tomorrow or something. Wappy, what's going on?
I want to see what people think about the Coinbase NFT market and with regards to LooksRare. I think originally I thought that it might be bearish for LooksRare. Now I'm thinking it might cause displacements in the market that would be bullish for LooksRare, meaning more volume might be looking at LooksRare now that there's multiple marketplaces where we know how smart we all are. So we know that it's not going to be in line on all the marketplaces. So I think it might be bullish for LooksRare.
That is, I'm just shaving off ETH on my Looks staking in there. It's beautiful, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, the people were really excited about the tokenomics of LooksRare. I think the red flags were the wash trading, right? I think that was one thing. And the other thing wasn't there like that Tornado Cash incident that was really weird?
I don't know anything about the Tornado Cash incident, but since Nick's not on stage, I'll go ahead and give a Nick line here. It's actually not bullish, or it's actually very bullish seeing wash trading PO, because if even 1% of the trading going on is even legitimate, that's so much money throughout 10 years of your life, you're going to be flushing cash.
Is that what Nick would have said? I don't know. But that,
I think he used to have an argument that was something along the lines of, like, if you try to filter out all the wash trading volume and look at the real volume, they're still getting a respectable amount of volume that seems legitimate.
Okay. Well, we're over here talking about Coinbase NFTs, talking about OpenSea, talking about LooksRare. We're sponsored by FTX. FTX is the cryptocurrency exchange and NFT platform, in my opinion. Gasless transactions on NFTs, the lowest fees in the business, plus bonuses for buying things like Ethereum, Bitcoin, Solana, all of them, they got great, great prices. And then the other thing is that you can actually deposit deposit cryptocurrency on its native chain into FTX because of how technical the folks that are building FTX are. I know some people have their hands raised here, but we're going to wrap up. I just wanted to shout out everybody who couldn't come on stage, including Nifty Nick, my co-host and co-founder, who was apparently rugged or he just is too busy moving into his new apartment. I want to shout out Gentle Tornado, who apparently it's his birthday, a dedicated member of the Nifty community and hilarious whenever he comes on stage. We have to limit how often he comes on stage because he's such a wild card, but I was ready for it today on 420. Shout out to my co-hosts here, Easy and Signal. Easy's been working with us for months, and I can't wait to see what we come up with next. Signal's been working with us informally for a while, but now is writing our newsletter, providing our weather reports, and co-hosting the space. Love having Signal here. Shout out to Soul Legend, man, getting busy with ETH. Soul Legend, you are welcome to come on the show whenever you want, man. I really appreciate the stuff that you were saying today. Shout out to Wappy, one of the best traders in the space. Wappy is printing money, and he's still eating McDonald's, so you got a shout out to Wappy there. Shout out to Node, sporting Azuki's, buying cartons today. Such a cool guy. I'm glad that we've started to work together on this stage, and I can't wait to hear more stuff from you. Shout out to Marco, trying to talk about stocks today and didn't get mad when I yelled at him for it. Full-time crypto trader, got into NFTs when he saw me on the expensive JPEGs YouTube video and was like, wait, I know that guy from 5 years ago when we both lived in SoCal. Marco's a stud, ladies. He's a handsome man. I don't know if he's on the market, but I'm just telling you, you can kind of hear when he's talking if you catch my drift. Shout out to Harito, who didn't get too mad at me for mispronouncing his name the other day. Member of the Lyrical Lemonade team, one of the best teams in the music industry. He's only got 234 followers. What the fuck is up with that? He's on one of the best teams in the music industry now in the NFT space. Make sure you follow him. Shout out to Jesse, the mushroom doing, long hair having, marijuana smoking, criminal defending lawyer that comes on our stage every day. I don't know what Jesse does. He's got a family. He's got kids. He's trading NFTs like crazy. He's a lawyer. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I got a new show sponsored by Nifty Alpha. It's me and Captain Kick. It's called Who Can Get Canceled First. So we just, you know, FTX is going to love it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Captain Kicks while you're talking about it. I'm sure he went and did something because he's literally the CEO of one of the top crypto games. And somehow he found a way to be our co-founder and on this show every single day and on YouTube 3 or 4 times a week. And he's got a family as well. So shout out to him. Shout out to Bouvet, the Mongolian beatboxer, alpha specialist, buying a Crocolypse low, still holding it and giving us full send Metacard today. We'll see how that plays out. And shout out to Paragon NFTs, who's a Nifty Portal holder since the Frozen Nifty Portal dropped. This show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We got a lot of things cooking. Hope you check out the Nifty Portal that Twitter would not let me pin to the top. It's 420. Let's get after it.